From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. The Chinese internet service giant Alibaba is often described as a kind of global e-commerce behemoth that's like an eBay, an Amazon, and a FedEx combined. Now we've got news that Alibaba's entertainment arm is going to drop big bucks on content. Maybe. Here's Forrester's Brendan Witcher.
The assumption might be that they're going to spend $7 billion on making the next, you know, Star Wars. But the truth of the matter is they might be putting that dollars into just simply customer understanding, which allows them to move forward.
Why would Alibaba spend $7 billion on understanding the customer?
We have companies like Amazon, Netflix are two of the foremost producers of premium television content in the world today. And now Verizon, for example, is buying sites and content assets from companies like AOL and Yahoo. So there's plenty of places to make that dollar up. It's just a matter of creating the right content, and then consumers will drive in volume and at scale that return on investment for the organization.
Forrester's Brendan Witcher there. We will apparently see Alibaba spend that $7 billion over the next 3 years. In the next 3 days, a lot of people will be preparing for and celebrating the new year, which means fancy wine will be coming out of bottles, maybe with the help of a device called the Coravin. The gadget costs a couple of $100 and promises to remove wine from a bottle without removing the cork. If you have seen one of these things that looks not unlike a medical device, gray, exacting, clampish, appropriate in a way, because the guy who invented the Coravin and founded the company that makes it came from inventing devices in the medical industry. Greg Lambrecht, thanks for talking with me.
It's my pleasure.
So how does a guy with a nuclear and mechanical engineering background and degrees, I guess, get into the wine extraction business?
You know, all of my companies are founded off of a personal frustration one way or another. And, you know, you've got a good technical background and a desire to solve unmet needs. And wine I was having a problem with in my life. I mean, it was great for the occasions when opening a bottle made sense on weekends.
Sure.
But it wasn't great during the middle of the week, like on a Wednesday when I wanted a great glass of white followed by a great glass of red. And I'd have to open two bottles, not finish either of them, and wind up throwing away a bunch.
We should acknowledge this is a $300 device. You are talking about extracting wine from a bottle. This is, by definition, in some ways, a first world problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we launched our first product in 2013, and that was indeed a $300 product. But now we're down at $199 up to $349. So we're trying to make ones that work for everybody. Wine is core to the quality of our lives and has been for at least 8,000 years. And what really Coravin does and why I think it's worth the price is that it enables you to drink whatever wine you want, whatever quantity you want, whenever you want, not having to think about when you're going to finish the rest of the bottle. And I think in some ways, it does enable you to drink more expensive wines on a more regular basis.
What about going the other way here, bringing consumer products to the medical field? Do we need more of that as well?
We do, and it's happening. I think that it's the powerful computer that we all hold in our hands that is changing what we can do in the medical field from the consumer perspective. Consumers should take more responsibility for their own health and their own healthcare. And I think if you put the power of reporting outcomes into the hands of a patient, you might get, you know, instead of 200 people in a randomized trial, you might get 2 million people who had hip replacement last year. So I think more and more consumer is going to invade healthcare, and I think that's only good for us.
Greg Lambrecht, inventor and founder of Coravin. Greg, thank you very much.
Oh, it's really my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Marketplace is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. Think of it like crowdfunding old school. To keep our coverage strong and relevant, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. You can donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. This week's episode of our podcast, Codebreaker, is all about technology at the border, refugees, border agents, and how they use tech in different ways. Well, one of our stories came with the help of breaking news editor Natasha Bertrand at our partner Business Insider. She has been relying on a range of tools to report on the refugee crisis overseas.
Yeah, so I started to get really interested in the war in Syria and the broader geopolitical ramifications of you know, everything that crisis would cause. And based on those articles that I started writing, I started getting messages from people over there thanking me.
How were you hearing from these folks?
A lot of it was through Facebook, because a lot of...
Everyone's on
Facebook. Yes. And they would just, they would send me messages. Some I would communicate with via email. Ultimately, it would turn out to be WhatsApp conversations if we wanted to talk more frequently. And Rabia is a Syrian refugee from Aleppo. He reached out to me and he said, hey, my brother Mahmoud, he's a lawyer. He graduated with a law degree from the University of Aleppo. And now he's living in Germany. So I reached out to him. I sent him a friend request on Facebook, and he just happened to mention, you know, it was funny because I almost didn't make it. The boat broke down in the middle of the Mediterranean. You know, he might not have been able to get to the Greek islands if not for, you know, his cell phone.
So Mahmoud relied on tech, and you do too. You couldn't do this reporting without Facebook or WhatsApp, I imagine.
No. I think that it makes it a lot easier to establish a connection with the people that are fleeing these war zones at this point. You know, rather, they're not just, you know, disembodied numbers or, you know, just massive, you know, refugees or migrants or, you know, whatever. That's just impossible for us to imagine. You know, now they're tweeting. Now they're sharing photos of it on social media. Now they're just it's a lot easier to experience what they're experiencing in real time.
Business Insider breaking news editor Natasha Bertrand there. If you want to hear more reporting about how refugees are using technology to cross borders, head to the website codebreaker.codes. You can also search for Codebreaker in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.